you would, go ahead and grab your pew Bibles if you got one, or grab your own Bible. The bulletin says Romans 6, 1 through 11. I'm actually, as I kept working with that, I decided, you know, I want to preach a different passage. So I will, surprise, surprise, be reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 38. It's also a passage of Scripture that helps us to understand this covenant of baptism. So please follow along with me, either on the screen or in your own Bible. Verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to his chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, Father, speak through me and in spite of me. May I decrease so that you may increase. Give us eyes and ears to hear a fresh word. Give us hearts that are open to an ever-deepening relationship with you. We thank you for your holy scriptures and this time to reflect on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. How many of you all have read this passage before? The Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. It's a fascinating passage. Let's walk through it a little bit, if we may. We see first Philip, who is being led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, "I want you to go to a different place." And what does Philip say? "Well, okay." He begins going down to where the Holy Spirit has led him. He sees a Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of the entire treasury. So a lot is jam-packed into this sentence. First of all, we have a eunuch. Now, the word eunuch can mean a number of different things, but we're also given more context, especially this passage that the eunuch is laboring over from Isaiah. This man, a eunuch, this kind of eunuch, has been castrated. Now, he's a court official, and this is pretty common. In other words, if you are not part of the royal family, but you want to work in close proximity with the royal family would rather you not, especially if you are male, pollute their line. You see what I'm saying? We're glad that you're here in close relationship serving, but we want to remove any possibility that you might kind of participate with us in a way we would rather you not. So in order to be a part of the royal court, to serve in close proximity, servants would either by force or voluntarily sometimes be castrated. Is that anybody's job requirement? That's tough. So this is what's happened to this guy. All right, either voluntarily or by force, we aren't told. But what happens when that takes place, especially at a young age? You will not ever develop a deeper voice. For some, that never really seemed to happen anyway. You don't end up developing a lot of muscle mass. You stay very effeminate. You will have very little body hair, biologically speaking. And so this guy growing up is constantly reminded, I am male, but for some reason, I, even when you see me from a distance, am not quite one of you. A marginalized, oppressed. The only thing I can think of is in 7th and 8th grade when I was the smallest kid in the entire school. Now you're saying that's hard to imagine because this mass hulk of a man that stands before you today. All 160 pounds of pure force, right? But believe it or not, back then I was the smallest, one of the smallest kids in school and would spend some of the periods locked in a locker, not voluntarily. And I can only imagine, I know what it was like to be bullied and pushed around, and my heart goes out to a guy like this that has made this kind of sacrifice, either it was forced upon him or not, but throughout his life, he is set aside. He is working with the royal court, but he ain't one of them, is he? He's not one of them. But even among his peers, he doesn't fit in. This man is a eunuch. Let's not miss this. Now, we find him a little bit later on. He apparently has gone to Jerusalem to try and worship, but a eunuch was not allowed in the temple of God. In other words, it was one of those sins that you couldn't wash off. It was one of those things that you had either done or was done to you, and there's no repairing it. There's no going back. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't lock it in a closet. It's there upon you. Have any of you ever been haunted by things that have happened and you wonder if only I could lock it away in a closet dark enough, sweep it under the rug that's heavy enough? If only I could block it out of my memory and just don't talk to me about it, pretend it's not there, it won't be. But there's this sin that you've never seemed to be able to wash away. We also see he's a treasurer. In other words, this guy is like the CFO of Ethiopia. He has a lot of power. So apparently through him serving in the royal court, he has served to a position of incredible influence, incredible wealth. He is riding. Is he riding on a donkey? No. What is he riding in? A chariot. I mean, he's like going in the Bentley down the road. This guy has wealth, influence, and he has worked his way up. We see that he is reading. Do you know what a minority class you are in this day if you could read? Unbelievably educated, well-educated, influential, powerful among those he serves. But he had sold his soul for this success, had he not? Cut himself off in order to achieve such blessings. But in verse 27, halfway through, we see he had gone to Jerusalem to worship and he was returning home. Now, Ethiopia from Jerusalem, depending on which part of the kingdom, this is like the Nubian kingdom. So this is not modern day Ethiopia, but it was a huge kingdom extending from around the Nile area and down into Africa. So we have this African eunuch who had traveled possibly up to 1,000 miles to get to Jerusalem. They didn't have Interstate 24 back then. You had dirt roads. It was dangerous. It was possible that you may not return from a trip like that, but he had left his home. Now listen, he had everything he probably could have wanted material-wise. Power, influence, wealth, education. Ethiopia, like any other kingdom, had its own remote gods. It's gods that they also worshipped. But he, apparently, I suggest, was still empty inside. Still searching, still hungry, still wondering, there's got to be more than this. And we see this incredible conflict, a man who has done something that is irreparable, that has haunted his life, his entire life. He couldn't wash that away, his castration. He was always, always identified by that decision. He couldn't shake it. He couldn't change it. It was done. And he had this thing that followed him. But now we see on the other side, he has achieved great worldly success. Wasn't enough. The only reason he would go all the way to Jerusalem is, I suggest, he is aware there's something still not quite right. Being hungry. Have you ever had kind of a hunger? Then you could eat all the food you want, but it's not going away. Or this desire for, once I get this, then it'll be okay. And you get there and it's still not enough. This Ethiopian eunuch is still searching. And I think we've seen an incredible lesson here. He refused to remain comfortably numb. One of the greatest sins that can come against a Christian or a pre-Christian is just this possibility within our culture, because we have so much stimulation and information and so many possibilities, just to cram something else into this deep hunger that we've had. And we can go from this to this to this to this to this and we remain so distracted we have never actually found the deepest hunger that we all have. But this Ethiopian had gone all the way to Jerusalem. The only problem in Deuteronomy 23 verse 1 is this very clear proscription against eunuchs entering into the temple. So could you imagine? You were on a journey of this magnitude, searching, longing, hoping for something. And you get there. And they see a eunuch. Say, I'm glad you came all this way, but you're not welcome in this house of worship. Not welcome in this house of worship. Whew. That's a long trip home, huh? All the way home. I could only imagine that he might very well be at the end of his rope. The end of his rope. Somehow he has a scroll. And he is reading over this scroll. And here's where we see these things starting to align. And thank goodness Philip was obedient to the Holy Spirit, right? That the Holy Spirit says, Philip, I need you to go down here. And Philip could have said, well, why? That doesn't make any sense. There's nobody down there. He says, well, okay. And he ends up in the path of this Ethiopian eunuch heading back to Africa, struggling over this scripture, still hungry, still searching, and without answers. Thank goodness he was obedient to the Holy Spirit. So picture this. Here's the eunuch in his chariot. And the Holy Spirit then says to Philip, go over to his chariot and join it. This is a Jewish man. And he's saying, go join a eunuch who is African, a black African. And good Jews, you had very strict understandings of who you could associate with. God is blowing all his categories of right and wrong. Go over there, run up beside him and talk to him. What does Philip do? Can you imagine? He's like, hey, what's up? And he hears him reading Isaiah, this suffering servant passage. It says, do you know what you're reading? Now, imagine you're this eunuch. You're educated. You are wealthy. You have power. You have influence. And this random Jewish guy running down the road comes up beside your chariot. Hey, do you need some help? Miracle. Yes, I do. Just to say, I need help. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I've thought I've had answers and they've left me hungry. They've left me wanting for more. And this guy of power, prestige, and wealth has the humility or the desperation to say, yes, I need help. How hard is it for us to just say that? Do you find it hard to ask for help at times? Let's get honest, church. It's so much easier to give than it is to receive a gift, isn't it? Feel vulnerable? Miracle. He has the awareness to say, I don't understand. How could I unless someone shows me? Do you need help? Yes. Yes, I do. Philip jumps in the chariot with him and he's going along. And he had been reading this section of Isaiah. And he gets to this point in Isaiah 53 verses 7 and 8. And like a sheep that before its shears is silent, he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future, these generations? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Who could imagine the generations to come? And this eunuch who has given away his entire opportunity to reproduce, to make children, to be a part of something that would be passed upon, is reading this scripture about a suffering servant who has been cut off from his people. And he asks, who? Philip, who's this about? Is this about Isaiah or is it about someone else? Who is it about? And what do we read? Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. So let's back it up a little bit. If you have your Bible open and want to turn with me to the very end of Isaiah 52, we see if he was on this passage, what was he reading just prior? See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and he shall be very high. Now, Isaiah is talking about a day that is coming, not one that is. And so this Ethiopian is going, well, when is this happening? Who is this person? How is this coming about? He continues reading at the start of chapter 53. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? See, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised and we held him of no account. Who is Isaiah talking about? This servant to come? He goes on, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We all have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter and picked it up, like a sheep before its shears is silent, by perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined it? And the Ethiopian is saying, who is this about? I have been cut off from my people. I have been stricken, cut down, chopped off from any possibility of future generations. Who is this person? Is it Isaiah? It's not me. Are you saying someone has instead taken my place? And he goes on, for he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Verse 11 continues, the righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. and he poured himself out to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Who is he talking about? The Ethiopian eunuch is asking. Who is it? Do you know one of the most amazing things? That when you do these surveys, I've seen reports of surveys, and they go around and ask the most powerful CEOs in the country, the most powerful men and women in the country, what's your biggest fear? And do you know the majority response? That I'm going to be found out. I don't know what I'm doing. In other words, folks who by every measure of success within the world are here, and they have gotten here, and they realize, I'm still hungry. I'm still empty. And do you know all of us, we have those places within our lives that we will then try to work ourselves up to just being good enough, just being smart enough, just having it together enough, as if God then will finally accept me. And there is this Ethiopian eunuch who has done all of that and has found himself lacking. But on the other hand, some of us struggle with this idea that what I have done, it's too bad that I cannot. Surely I've been cut off. Preacher, you don't know the sins that I've committed. You don't understand the things that go through my mind that I don't tell anybody about. You don't understand the struggles that I have in my life that even my spouse doesn't know about, but they are eating me up from the inside, and you're telling me everything's fine and Jesus has paid it. Just sounds too good to be true. In other words, what I have done, like the Ethiopian, cannot be repaired. But on the other hand, all the worldly success isn't enough. And so the miracle that happens for some of the folks in that position is, I submit to you, they say, I need help. But you know the kind of help we don't need when we find ourselves in that spot? 7 steps to a new you. Magic car polish that never needs to be wiped off. 6-pack abs in 4 seconds a year. Those are always our solutions, as if the problem can be fixed by covering it up or sweeping it under the rug. We don't simply need superficial help. We need a Savior. So picture Philip explaining this to this Ethiopian eunuch. And he goes on, he says, if we walk through this passage, if that's the only scroll we have, do you know the most astonishing thing? That as you work through this picture of Jesus Christ, who actually hangs on the cross in my place, in your place, for you, and that should be one of the most offensive propositions of the Christian gospel. Many people will skip that and they'll say, surely not, that's ridiculous, because they cannot come to grips with the reality of their own sin. No, I'm not that bad. Okay. The Ethiopian eunuch got to a place where he was ready to ask for help. Jesus hung in your place within that guilt that you know is there, and you can only ignore it for so long, and you'll try to stay comfortably numb, but you're only fooling yourself. And the Ethiopian eunuch begins to grasp this, like, you're saying someone has come into my place and taken my place. And Philip is saying, that's exactly what I'm saying. But more than that, they go on to chapter 55, and we might read this. Everyone who thirsts, this is in Isaiah as he continues. He says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And he's asking, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen to me carefully. These are the words of the Lord. Listen to me carefully and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Why? Because I am who you desire the most. Incline your ear to me and come to me. Listen so that you might live. And it goes on, I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. And then I could almost see the Ethiopian eunuch seeing this amazing opportunity, but then remembering, no, no. People like me aren't allowed to be a part of this covenant that you guys are talking about. You see, what happened to me is irreparable. It can't be undone. Or maybe like you, what I have done is too bad to be fixed. Or you're still struggling on the other end of the spectrum. Like, I'm succeeding, achieving, but you know it's not enough. And you are stuck. You're stuck. Can you ask for help? And then the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip, I could almost picture him saying, no, read a little bit further. Chapter 56, verse 3. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, surely the Lord will separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I'm just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, hold fast to my covenant. Listen. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. I see some blank stares. Did I go too long? Did I lose you guys? Are you following? Are you tracking what in the world I'm trying to say? Picture yourself, the Ethiopian eunuch. You are there. You have tried everything. You're too bad and you can't get good enough and you're without answers. Have you experienced that, church? Can you ask for help? And here he is. He's gone on an incredible journey and been turned away because he cannot be part of this. And he is saying, who is this suffering servant about? And Philip says, it is about one named Jesus Christ. And he has been in your stead, in your place, and that guilt that you know that is there, that you'll try to sweep under the rug, that you'll pretend it's not the case, that you'll put on enough makeup, that you'll try to make it look pretty enough, but you're not fooling anyone, and you can't get good enough, and you know you've been bad enough. What in the world do you do? Can you ask for help? Yes. And there's one who helps. His name is Jesus Christ. He has died on a cross for the forgiveness of sins. But not only that, brothers and sisters, not only that, even for the eunuch, he has given this promise. I will give you a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. Man, I'm sorry y'all are asleep. I'm sorry, you're probably not asleep. You're probably just thinking really hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell. And the eunuch who has been looking for salvation. And what you are most hungry for, brothers and sisters, Christians or non-Christians, what you are most hungry for, despite what you think on your good days or bad days or what the world would want to tell you, is not another product, is not a quick fix. It is Jesus Christ and it is salvation. It is a relationship with God that is reestablished, not in what you do, but in what he has done. And it is offered as a free gift for you. Do you want help? Do you want help? And I just picture the eunuch. And maybe because I just remember being, and you've been here before, but being in a jail cell and I've come out of, all the things that I hurt and harm people. I would come out of blackouts and hitting people repeatedly, and I've stolen it, and I've been in accidents where pedestrians were injured and all kinds of things. And I landed in jail and I'm saying, God, I don't have any other options. I don't have any answers. Can you help me? And what he didn't say was, clean yourself up first and then we'll talk about it. And the eunuch hearing like, I can be a part of this. Because that's grace. In verse 36, as they were going along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What's to keep me from being baptized?" Can I be a part of what you're talking about? Can Jesus Christ be my Savior too? Philip said, "Come on in, the water's fine." Commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, they went down into the water. This man who's about to go back to Africa with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is very savvy. Go back to a whole new continent. And he goes down to the water and baptizes him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Africa would never be the same. Not just him, but the people he's going back to. What are they going to hear? The good news about a man named Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray with me. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, what an incredible story of conversion. I pray for my brothers and sisters who've always struggled with the idea that what they've done is too bad. I pray for my brothers and sisters on the other end that are still struggling to try to make themselves squeaky clean enough. And I'll try one more thing and one more thing, maybe this time. God, bring us all to a place of desperation. Maybe may we be aware of our deepest hunger, which is for you. Thank you that you have good news for us who say, "I need help." Thank you for this gift of baptism and the opportunity to celebrate one who will soon be a new sister in Christ as she says, "Look, there's water. What keeps me from being baptized?" And we as Salem Church say, "Absolutely nothing. The gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ purchased this for you. Come on in, the water is fine." What a blessing, what a moment for celebration. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.